Here we go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on the Con Skype hotline, we have
John.
So welcome, everybody. The series Game of Thrones has officially ended. And it's needless to say, the majority of our episode tonight will be discussion on Game of Thrones, but we're going to start that later. We're going to take care of a few things beforehand, particularly Chernobyl talk. It seems like that's what we're going to be doing for 10 minutes every week.
Yeah.
And then
for
we have
two more weeks.
We actually have two HBO trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's an HBO thing?
Both of them.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
And then we got some news. So why don't we start off with some news?
Okay.
I'll just throw it around the table. I think everybody had kind of one thing to bring up or a couple things.
We did.
Sean, you mentioned.
What did I mention?
No, you didn't mention. Sam, you mentioned something. I'm sorry.
We got some news about one of the Disney Plus Marvel shows.
Oh, right.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We got some news about, we got a director. I forget her name, but.
Well, that's
that doesn't
great.
Matter.
That's
that doesn't
that's
matter.
Great radio.
But the more important part is we're going to get Zemo and Sharon Carter back.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
Bringing Zemo back. I'm excited.
Yeah, he was a good villain. So.
I'm guessing it's the same actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Was it Brule or something?
Daniel Brule.
Yeah. I liked it.
Emily Van Camp.
As long as Disney's still carrying the contracts from these movies to TV shows, I'm really happy.
So here's the thing. Okay, so the director is Kari Skoglund. I'm probably butchering that, but I don't know. But she is known as, she directs The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, she does a lot of, like, TV.
Yeah, but that's a big thing, because that's a big deal on Hulu.
Yeah, yeah.
She's won some awards.
And it would make sense as well, because Hulu is owned.
Is now.
In five years, officially, primarily, you know, Disney. But still. All right. Handmaid's Tale director, going to do Falcon Winter Soldier. They're keeping the cast. I'm liking it.
Yeah,
see where it goes. If it goes well, I'll be open for a movie.
This is the first real news we've gotten about these shows. So,
aside from like The Mandalorian, but yeah,
right. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? She also directed an episode of The Punisher, the first season. I don't know which one, but she directed one of those.
Whatever.
She's familiar with the MCU.
It's a different style, I'm guessing, than Handmaid's Tale.
She's worked with the MCU, though, before.
At least producers.
Well, Netflix.
At least producers. But
Kevin Feige. Fine.
Anyway, John.
Do you guys think, though, like, all these Disney Plus shows, well, for Marvel at least, do you think it's going to actually, like, if they do well, open the door to maybe having a movie? Or do you think, like, maybe they're just planning to do a movie anyway, but then doing, like, a TV show because they need to put stuff behind, you know, their paywall to drum up interest, and they're still going to do movies, too, or?
I think they're trying to move away from the movies for these minor characters.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I don't think I would like to say we'll see on how well the show does with the fans, and if it's a hit, then I would say further down the road we'd get a Sam Wilson Captain America movie probably.
Mm.
But I feel like right now there's no chance of that happening because you just don't know. They're moving on from the Captain America character.
Yeah, I'll build on that and agree with you. I think it's with the shows, we get the WandaVision thing, we get the Mandalorian, mm-hmm. obviously, and then we're getting this. I think Loki has one as well.
Yeah,
it's a trial by fire. If they do well, they're going to move on to a movie. If not, at least team them up in a team movie. Yeah. Avengers, Alpha Flight, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't just show up in something either, even if like they don't have a movie per se.
No.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what these characters have been doing so far. So.
Right. Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're already in the works writing, trying to get Daredevil, the cast from all of those Netflix Marvel shows.
You guys gotta let this die. It's not happening.
Yeah,
it's a really small little happening. Hope that I don't think is gonna happen. But it would be great if they could. I don't. You're right though. I don't think it's gonna happen. Batman news, John.
What was I gonna say? You want to go there?
Yeah, go yeah. Batman.
We've got a new Batman, folks. Twilight Zone, Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire Zone,
Water for Elephants,
the Rover Zone. Robert Pattinson is going to be your new Batman, which is an interesting choice.
Yes,
you know, I think. Obviously, you know, kind of busted him a little bit for, you know, being in the sparkly vampire movie. But I think he's actually, like, a decent enough actor. Like, I don't think he's, like, a bad actor or anything like that.
Yeah, I've always, you know what I mean? I've always gotten a Leo vibe from him where it's, like, early in his career, he's bad, but he can get better.
Okay.
I don't think Leo was ever really bad as much as, like, he's just putting, like, some kind of stupid shit, you know?
Well, that kind of falls in the same boat as Pattinson, though. He starred in Twilight. Like, come on.
But there hasn't been much else after that.
Yeah, though. See, that's my thing. Like, I guess he's done a bunch of indie stuff, which is fine and all. But, as you know.
Now, once you sent that text, because I think you guys, literally broke it to me that he was
Did
Batman.
I? Oh, maybe.
And then somebody said he was sparkly Batman. He couldn't take it seriously. And I was not happy. But then after a couple days,
well,
you know what?
Give it a shot. He's going to be in the night, so yeah. Give it a he's shot. Used to that. So. Yeah,
I'm okay with it. I'm in John's boat. I'm in John's boat. Let him give it a shot.
If the makeup from Twilight just like never came off, like it was like faulty, so he just is like sparkly like for the rest of his life.
Oh man, that'd be funny. Well, my thing with this is Pattinson, I mean, maybe he can get jacked for this movie, but I just, like, Batman's a brawler. He's, like, he's kind of a big guy. So, like, I don't see Pattinson gaining that much weight and muscle for this movie, which is kind of concerning, because, like, you don't want, like, Batman to look like the Flash, I guess.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, he doesn't have to be, like, beefcake
right.
Ben Affleck Batman, but, like, even, you know, like, Christian Bale is, like, a bigger guy. Like,
yeah.
Well, then you got Keaton. Keaton's probably, like, a similar kind of build. But, like, you know, the Batman in the past have been, you know,
it's
like
a brawler
you said,
type.
A brawler.
Yeah. And that's true to the comics. Like, Batman will beat the crap out of you. Like, that's his thing. Whereas Pattinson, I mean, I haven't seen him recently. I don't know if he's like planning on putting on weight.
Well,
behind
he's got
this.
Like a few years.
I know. He's got a few years to.
So
to do
like,
it.
I don't know. Like, things can change, is what I'm saying. But like, his build doesn't look like a brawler type. It's like a finesse type, and that's not Batman. That's like the like I said, the Flash.
Yeah, but he has the. Some people's bodies, you know, are skinny.
Yeah.
You know they're never going to put on muscle. He's it looks
Why'd
like
you
he
look
has
at
the
me?
Ability to throw Jesus, you're the definition of a stick.
See, I think differently. He's got the type of body that looks like he no matter what he's going to look skinny.
I think he could put it on. I think he could put on some weight.
I don't know.
And not worry. He's tall too, so.
That hurts it though.
Does it?
Yeah. If
I don't think
if
it
you're
does.
Tall and thin and
No,
like,
no. He's not like tall and Sam thin. He's just tall and thin. Trust he could put it on.
All right.
I think he can do it. I'm willing to give him a shot. I'm willing to give it a shot.
All right.
I'm not afraid.
Team Edward,
you know,
over here.
I think a lot of it. Yeah, I mean, actually, I mean, truthfully, like Taylor Lautner would actually look way more like Batman.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but Batman would look weird as a llama.
Yeah, that's true. It all depends to like what's Matt Reeves, you know, who's doing this movie, who's directing and writing the script. What's going to be his little spin on Batman? You know, it's like, you know, like James Bond, for instance, is like a character, and there's certain things that are set. But having said that, you know, when they change actors, like there is a little bit of a different spin on it. You know, especially so with the last one with Daniel Craig. You know, so we'll see what happens there. Who else has got some news?
John Wick has already been slated for a fourth movie.
Hoorah.
And it's just funny because once they said that news and the studio released that, I'm like, I never expected it to, number one, have a sequel, two, have three, or even announce a fourth movie, and then have a show on Showtime that's going to be coming out just from this one movie. I never expected
this
that.
This movie...
It kind of caught me... This whole franchise just kind of caught me off guard, and I'm happy for it. I like it. It's just a...
Yeah, I got to watch these movies.
It's just... like you expect shoot 'em up. That's all you got to do.
And that's fine. Because, you know what?
That's stupid, all it is.
Stupid action is fun, but it's like, it's a well-done stupid action.
Well, the thing, the Expendables, there was, what, three or four Expendables movies? Not the same thing as John Wick, but it's very much in that vein.
Yeah, where it's like, this isn't going to win an Oscar, just expect a lot of violence and very little plot.
Oh, yeah, it's funny.
John Wick is like the artsy version of like the Expendables.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, without...
I don't even mean artsy so much as just, like, very stylized,
yes.
You know?
Yeah. I don't want to say competent director, but definitely somebody who knows what they're doing and has a vision for the whole movie.
Stallone had a vision.
Wide shots. Big, massive wide shots. 150 extras getting plowed down by Chuck Norris with a machine gun.
Lots of blood.
And then just randomly cut to Dolph Lundgren going,
yeah.
Could we squeeze in a quick movie review here?
Oh, God, what? Yes! Oh, my God, yes!
Yeah, we totally forgot it. So, on HBO streaming is last summer's blockbuster hit. I have no idea what it did, but it probably did well in China. Skyscraper, starring The Rock and others.
I honestly don't think it did well.
Yeah, I watched on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I think, has already given us a review. If you got any other thoughts, feel free to chime in. But, Sean, here's what my takeaway was.
All right.
It wasn't actually that bad.
Okay.
It was kind of decent. If I was, like, had nothing to do and I, like, went to see that in the movie theaters, I wouldn't be, like, pissed that I saw it.
Okay.
If a friend drags you to see that movie, you wouldn't be, like, upset.
All right.
And it's just a very, and you know what? It's not 2 hours long. It's like a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's like an hour 40 something.
Right. There's no elaborate backstory they have to set up. Like, hey, this dude's like a security consultant / auditor or whatever. But, and then like there's this whole thing where,
tech genius.
Where these guys are trying to burn down a building to get some, I don't know, money laundering stuff or...
No, it was a flash drive that basically had the names of everyone in that crime syndicate or whatever, that like where their money goes.
Whatever.
And
they wanted to get something. Yeah. It literally takes 10 minutes.
Okay, Sam, my God, this is the new age Die Hard.
It took 10 minutes to get in this movie.
There's a cop on the ground that never meets The Rock until the very end. And The Rock is like climbing through
this takes place in China, right?
Hong Kong.
Well, China. Yeah. But
The Rock climbs up like an entire crane.
Okay,
like,
he does, so like, 96... the fire. Yeah, well, the fire is on the 96th floor.
It's on a view, but 96 is kind of where it's at.
Like the 96th floor, they mention like
which
what
is
floor?
Halfway up.
Yeah. So The Rock, in order to get in, has to get to the top of a crane and jump across. So therefore, he's higher than 96 stories. He's probably about 100 stories. But guess what? The elevator was locked. So he climbed it.
Not 100 stories. It was,
no, he climbed over 100 stories.
No, he didn't, because there was a building and then the crane was on top of
it. Was the crane on? Okay, sorry. So he climbed 60 stories.
No, it was obscene. It was at least 20.
It was
at least
20 stories.
It's like
ridiculous.
Like
stairs or?
No.
Side of it.
Like
the slats.
There's,
like
no,
the
there's
side.
No ladder. Yeah. It was
like
an X.
Yeah. That. He climbed.
So
there
he
were
had
no
to, like,
stairs.
Monkey bar underneath it over nothing, and then flip up. It's
oh
just...
my God! Yeah, I like, and because
I have
like,
to admit the way it was filmed, it made you really.
It did. Like there were like John, you there freaked out a couple times. You're like, oh my God! Like
falling.
Yeah. No, it was very like anxiety inducing if you're afraid of heights. But Yeah, this movie is like New Age Die Hard, but it's like The Rock's Die Hard, where if this got a sequel, okay, that's fine. I dig it. But yeah, no.
This Sky is, Harder?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sky Hard.
Yeah. But yeah, like...
The skyscraper, twice the height.
Yeah. Like, so the bad guys literally show up, maybe, what, like 20 minutes into the movie?
Oh, not even. Not even.
Because there's like a scene of pre-amputated leg The Rock and how he got lost a leg. And then it's like he becomes buddy-buddy with this random guy that you're like, I think he was in the last scene, but they were all wearing masks. So I'm not quite sure because he was working for the FBI and they were doing a raid.
How do you miss this stuff?
Because it's the beginning of the film. It's literally...
So you just don't pay attention to the beginning?
I don't pay attention to every character. There's like 20
you
people.
You see him for like 3 seconds, yeah. Though.
Yeah, but then 3 minutes later, you see his face again after seeing three other people's faces.
Right.
Like...
No, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not, you know, super well established.
Yeah. Thank you. No, it is... I was not mad that I watched it. It was a fun ride. It got into the action really quickly.
They wasted no time.
No, which was super nice because, John, afterwards you were saying like that you could tell this was made for like the overseas demographic.
Right.
And
it
because
wasn't plot heavy.
Yeah, you know. If it was like made for American audiences, we would have had like at least 45 minutes of backstory. And that's like for a movie like this, there's no reason for it. So it was really nice that they got into the action really quickly. And it was just like a stupid fun movie. Like
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was stupid.
Like, the whole finale, like the whole, I don't know what the like word for it is, but they go into this like dome thing at the top and there's all these like mirrors and stuff and it's really fucking dumb.
And like, so it's like, think of like a fun house. Yeah. But with cameras instead of mirrors. And so, like, there's a fight, like, a shootout there, and they're, like, attacking and killing people. And, like, they go up there earlier in the film. It's, like, the ball at the top. The Rock and the guy who built the place, they go up there, and they're like, so what is this? And he, like, does the thing where all these things pop up, and he mentions all the cameras and stuff, and then it, like, it's basically a 360 view of Hong Kong from way up in the sky, which is weird because you don't see the building underneath it, which would be odd if it had a camera
right there.
I think
that's the point. That's the point, is to be in the sky with nothing holding you back.
Right, but it's not like, it's cameras. You don't digitally...
But how do they do it?
Yeah.
look, we're getting
it's got all these, like... Literally, it's like 100 monoliths that come out of the floor in this room. And like The Rock's like, what is this? And he's like, have a good day. And walks out. Like, what was the point of this room other than to set up the finale?
It also had a great moment that I kind of have to call Chris out on here. Where like early on, they have like a little like banter between The Rock and his wife. And I'm like, oh, the thing he just said is going to, like, solve the movie at the end. And it totally happened. It's great.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Where she's dealing... Spoiler. Huge spoiler, I guess.
You have to
just
spoiler.
Explain the whole end.
So, where she's like, my phone's
broken.
Turn it off and turn it on again.
Yeah, she gets the tablet.
And they literally say at the end, what did he do? He turned it off and turned it on again. They literally say that line.
Oh, I must have forgot the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's literally how they put the fire out.
Whatever.
Wait, they turn the fire off and then turn the fire back on again?
They reboot the system, like Jurassic Park style. Anyway, all right, I'm going to give it... We'll do quick ratings here.
Oh, we don't have to do a rating because it was last year, but if you want to...
I'm going to give it a 6.9.
Yeah, I'd probably go 6.8.
8.8.
You haven't seen it.
Sounds good to me.
You should watch it. It's on HBO Go, though.
All right.
I definitely recommend this movie. It's for anybody who likes stupid action movies. This was stupid but fun.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Other news or you guys
you
good?
Want to go to Chernobyl?
Real quick, for those of you who watch the Arrowverse,
oh.
All the season episodes this past season are on Netflix
right
now.
Yes, that's right.
because they have that contract, releases it a week later. So you can start pinching all those if you haven't watched anything.
I am two seasons behind.
Why don't we do trailers before we do Chernobyl, John?
Oh, that's right. Yep.
So let's do his Dark Materials.
All right.
Netflix movie, right? It's a movie.
No, it's a TV series.
It's an HBO series.
Yes.
Oh, okay, even. So this is...
based on the books of the same name.
Yep. Also probably based on the movie, well, The Golden Compass.
Well, that The Golden Compass was based on the books.
I know.
The so first book you've seen the
movie.
Compass.
I wonder how they're going to keep this. I wonder if there's... This movie's already spoiled, or the TV show is already spoiled for a lot of people.
Not really.
Well, well, have you read the books?
Yeah.
I mean, well, have you watched the movie, too?
Like, not a lot of people saw that movie.
Yeah, that's that was the issue, is not a lot of people saw The Golden
I will give
Compass,
you that.
Which, I personally really enjoyed The Golden Compass.
Yeah, I love that movie.
God, like, that was bad.
Why?
Because it was awful.
Explain.
It just, who cared? What did you care about?
A lot.
Yeah, the story. It was an interesting world they built.
Yeah.
All right, I'm clearly at a different taste.
I feel like you went
right
into
now.
This movie with a bad attitude.
No, I saw it like the week it came out. I think I rented this movie when it first came out on rental. There's no way I was spending money to go to the movie theater for this.
Oh, we did.
Of course you did.
I remember sitting down being like, this is a kid's movie. This is going to be stupid. And I remember coming out of there being like, that was a lot better than I thought. So I feel like going in with low expectations, because Sam, what were your expectations going into that movie?
This is going to be stupid.
Yeah, and it came out like, that was actually a lot of fun, and I really want a sequel. I want to see
like,
where this
is going.
When
the king polar bear like takes out the jaw of the other one.
Yeah. Oh,
that was awesome.
Oh, my
God. And I mean, unfortunately, it really just bombed in theaters. Or I mean, like, it was big budget, so it really had to deliver, and it just didn't.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? On the show, it seems like it has a darker sense to it.
I mean,
it looks like it has better graphics than the movie.
Well, the movie came out like 15 years ago.
It also
2007, 12 years ago. So yes, of course, the graphics
are
better.
It looks like it has a better cast.
A better cast.
It looks like it has people who actually kids who actually know how to deliver lines.
What, you're saying Dakota Blue Richards didn't know how?
No.
All right.
Neither of the kids. None of the kids did. Which is hard. You know, it's you're working with kids. That's what happens. But
you're out. Were you guys trying to figure out where the girl was from?
Oh, that's Logan. From Logan. She's X-23.
Yeah, she also looks a little bit too much like... who's like that? 11? There's like an older guy. Who looks exactly like him. Just, I can picture him in my mind.
Just to let you know, Chris thought this was a shitty cast. Daniel Craig, Nicole Kidman, Dakota Blue Richards, Ava Green, Ian McKellen, Sam Elliott, and Freddie Highmore.
When did I say it was a shitty cast?
Ian McKellen's in it?
When did I say it was a shitty cast? I didn't say it was a shitty cast.
You said that the show had a better cast.
I think the show... Read off the characters in the show.
He really likes Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm down to one thumb, so it's really hard for me to type.
You know what? Move on. You guys are clearly excited about
this. There's people in it.
Yeah.
You're not?
It's not one of those ones where I'll probably watch it every week.
Oh, I'm definitely in.
Like, I'll watch piece episodes like Sean just to provide some input, but that's...
Yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Daphne Keene, James McAvoy, and then a bunch of people you've never heard of.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to give it a shot. I always like kind of seeing a new world.
Mm.
Like world building. Maybe I'll bail after that, but I'm at least at like give it a shot. Or at the very least, see what the next trailer looks like.
Yeah.
Well, the story's going to be the same.
Yes.
But is it going to be...
I know one complaint with the movie was that it strayed from the books because the books kind of have a... anti-religious undertone, and the movie didn't want to go that route because it got heavily criticized for being like anti-Christian when it really wasn't. But
like in the same way Harry Potter is.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that went over well with the fans.
No, like this movie is more. Though this book series is more than.
I knew
Harry
there
Potter.
Was something about the difference between the books and the movies. I knew there was something. I don't remember what it was.
Like they downplayed that undertone a lot in the movie. from what I remember. So
I don't know. I didn't like it. I'm not interested in the show. Yeah. Clearly, you guys are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 out of 4. It must be doing something right if 3 out of 4 of us are interested.
Yeah. All
right.
Well, speaking about 3 out of 4 of us are interested, the other big release right before... Was this right before or right after Game of Thrones?
It's right before.
Right before, which I missed because I was watching on HBO Go.
Mm-hmm.
But Westworld Season 3 just dropping out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, in advance of release.
Because yeah, what, next year that it comes out?
I believe so.
Right. So I'm guessing what we saw was like the first episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guarantee that. It looks like graphics-wise looks nice and polished.
It does. Right? Especially being this early.
Yeah, so I feel, like John said, I feel like this was the first episode.
Do you think it's strategic, though? So I think it looks like they filmed a lot. But then again, it could be strategic because Watchmen comes out in November.
Mm-hmm.
Chernobyl, obviously, is right now, but it's a miniseries.
Right.
And there's something else coming out.
Big Little Lies.
They've got
stuff in the pipeline.
Oh, yeah. So
it's
weird
because I feel like last year there wasn't a lot going on, but now this year, like, everything is here.
Yeah. Curb, I think, was last year.
They're trying to keep people.
Yeah, that's what I think they're trying to do.
Yeah, because they're expecting a huge drop.
But it was weird because, like, I feel like there was a lull, but now, like, it's back, like, full steam ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if they're trying to pace everything out and they put, all right, Westworld, you're pretty much done. We don't want to put you in November or December. We know there's going to be a fourth season. So why don't you start writing now and we'll release it later, giving you more time to develop your story. Because I think the problem with season two was that story wasn't as good as the first season. So. Right.
And it hurt that it was a year and a half later.
You know, I think they just totally wrote themselves into a corner with season two and just couldn't for the life of them get out. So the way it looks, and granted this is way too early, but I think there's at least like a pretty decent reboot of the whole series.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean if that's the case, I trust I don't like think season two is like a giant knock on Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, the two showrunners. Like Jonathan Nolan like has written some like really good shit. So I'm not worried that like, in fact, I'm almost more interested now that it's like a total reboot because just go to town, dude. Like I'm not, if it starts to suck, I'm not going to like hang around the whole season just because like I don't really care about anybody in the show. But if it's good, I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
I'm in the same boat as you, John. Like the fact that it looks like this show is out of the park now and into the real world, and it looks like robots are very integrated into society to begin with, but they don't look like quite like people. They look like actual robots, which makes the synthetic humans in Westworld unique. But now that we're going to have some actual like hosts in the real world, it seems like a very, cause watching this trailer, I didn't see Westworld. I saw like Blade Runner.
Yeah. I kind of got that vibe too.
So like, which is, you know, it's that futuristic, what is it called? Cyberpunk. So it looks like a very cyberpunk show. So it's just taking the characters that we know from Westworld, from In the Park, and displacing them in a brand new world that they've never been to before. Or,
well, so not far,
that, not that they
character.
Have, yeah,
I was
gonna Dolores
say, I think
has.
There's only one.
Dolores has seen it, but like she's hasn't lived in it. Well, she's only seen it.
Yeah,
from
I think there's only. I was gonna say, I think there's only one cast member in the trailer
right now.
That
yeah,
I remember.
But Aaron Paul is signed on for this new season. So
I'm kind of bleh on him, whatever, but I'm interested in him in this.
Yeah, I mean, I know him from two, other than, that racing movie?
Rush?
No, Need for Speed. But based on the video game. But, like, other than that, I mean, I know him from Breaking Bad, and I know he did a great job, even though I gave up on the show on season two, but, like, I know he did a great job. He's amazing in BoJack Horseman. Like, he's probably the best part of that show.
Yeah,
I don't think that really is relevant to a live action.
I know, but like these are the only things that I know him from.
No, he's a good actor, and it seems like his character is definitely more towards like what he was in Breaking Bad, which, you know, I don't like seeing people do like exactly the same thing over and over again, but like, yeah, I mean, this is fine.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with this. I'm still interested. I'm still down.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was very much out on this show, but like, I think it brought me back in.
Good.
So I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
I, as the person who is probably started off the most out on the show, I watched it, but I didn't see anything in this that pulled me in, but I didn't see anything that pushed me further out.
That's good, I guess.
So if it's on, you'll watch it. If not, whatever.
Well, if you guys are watching it, we're talking it on here, I'll watch it. But okay. If not, no. All
right.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
I'd be interested to see if they have all this CGI. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't have to shoot every single thing being walking through like a middle of a metropolitan area.
Right.
But like, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, the budget on this show is already insane. But, I mean, we know we've had the runaround on Game of Thrones all these years being like, oh, well, CGI, it's so much. You know, it's like, we'll see how it adapts to its new surroundings. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it is a little easy when you're just at the, you know, at the ranch filming the pre-built sets versus, you know, doing all this CGI stuff. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Are we moving on to Chernobyl?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, kind of another interesting episode. The show's great. I know we've really been one note on this whole thing, but it's just so good. And it's got what I like about it, and I think this episode really I noticed it more, is like the first episode was kind of like the micro. Like it was the event itself and you got the firefighters and everything like that.
Yeah, it gave you a good background.
Right. And then the next episode is kind of like the big picture and all that, and then we kind of go a little bit of both of this episode, you know, like we get the firefighters, and I mean, holy shit, that's like nightmare fuel.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's like
hold no punches, HBO. Jesus,
yeah, no.
I've never seen anything like that. Like that's like some of the best like makeup work and stuff I've ever seen.
No, I completely agree, and like. That's one thing I always pay attention
so,
to.
So I listened to the podcast in conjunction with this that they released.
Oh, no free ads, Sam.
it's with the creator of the series. And with those like firefighters and showing them, they actually in some places held back. It's showing like how gruesome.
There's that one character that like... The last like guy that she talks to, the scientist lady, when she's sitting there with what's his face, Jared Harris's character, when she's sitting with him, she's like, he had no face. His face was gone.
Yeah, they had like been planning on showing that, but like somebody from HBO came to them and was like, yeah, that might be too much.
Well, no, I'm not gonna, just show the penis scene.
I'm not gonna lie. Though. I'm not gonna lie. I was watching. Because he was the last interviewee of three.
Yeah.
And then I saw, like, all right, this is disgusting. This is disgusting. And then I saw the interview with the last guy, and they weren't showing his face for a long time.
They didn't show any of
him. I didn't make it. I hit the fast forward 10 seconds.
Really?
After. I couldn't. Because if they showed it, I knew I would be like.
Like, I was sitting there, like, they're going to show it. They're going to show it. They're going to, like, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. They're going to show it. And they never showed it. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Right?
Like, I don't know if I could handle that.
It would have been brutal to look at.
Yeah.
Given whatever, because they did you're right though, they did such a good job on everything else.
Like the second guy especially, where he looks like Gary Oldman in Hannibal. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but like his character in Hannibal, like that's what he kind of looked like, just with more open sores. Like it was just grotesque. Like it was disgusting to look at.
It really was.
And they just do they do such a nice job of just like hitting you with a bunch of information. Like, it's always going to be like Jared Harris and the other the lady scientist.
Yeah, Emily Watson.
Emily Watson. You know, it's obviously going to be the two of them. But like, you know, you get the scene where the wife of the firefighter comes up, and you know, like they seem like they've got the burns, but they seem like they're okay. And then like right after that, they hit you with like. Yeah, so it seems like they recover for like a day or two, and then everything just breaks down.
Can I just say,
and
What a dumb bitch this woman is.
Okay, and that's what I think somebody said did at work too. But yeah. In the 80s, I don't think people really understood the effects of radiation.
I completely agree with that.
I mean, I get it, but
Ukraine.
It's literally like one like watching a horror movie where like, don't go in there, don't go in. Like, and, but she does it. Like, she does everything she's not supposed to. They're like, don't do this. She's like, well, I'm doing it anyways. And she does it. And it's like, oh my God, stop doing the things you're told not to do. Like, and it was Sam, you said she's actually based on a real person.
Almost everything that she does is real.
Yeah. So it's like, because the firefighter was interviewed. That's the one thing I read. Like, the firefighter was actually interviewed after the fact.
Yeah.
And they studied his case. And then, like, it's documented. His case is actually documented, which a lot of other cases are not.
Well, the woman, she eventually wrote a book about her experience. So.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Okay. Which I was going to say the character's name, but her the actress's name is Jessie Buckley. I was going to say her name, but it's like Lyudmila.
It's Ukrainian.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to pronounce that. To all our Ukrainian listeners, yeah.
Sorry,
sorry, my bad.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if there is, if there is one.
We've had hits in the Ukraine.
We have.
It didn't sound very Slavic. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Oh. No, I liked the firefighters too. And
you mean the coal miners?
The coal miners. Yeah. And I was listening to the director afterwards. And he says, like, those were badass guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The coal miners were badass guys. You never fucked with them.
Yeah, yeah. They were saying, like, in the podcast, the creator was like, apparently, like, Gorbachev said on the record, like, coal miners scare me.
Oh. you see that scene with the two armed guards and the head of the coal commission, and the guy's like, all right, shoot us. You don't have enough bullets. Whoever survives is going to beat the living shit out of you.
Well, like, they're mentioning, like, one of the reasons why the Soviet Union built so many nuclear reactors across the Soviet Union was all their power was coming from coal.
Yeah.
So the coal miners knew the power they had. Yeah. If they just stopped working, the country shut down.
Yeah.
So they knew they had, like, they power had over the state.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. Like, I realize you don't necessarily use oil for power, but you can. But, like, doesn't Russia, I mean, Russia has, like, one of the largest supplies of oil. Like, why do you need nuclear reactors? It's just very odd to me.
Alternate fuel source. And you don't have to pay anybody to to get it.
Yeah, it was more expensive to build coal mines, oil rigs up in the north than it was to.
Plus, you have to pay people to mine the stuff, basically. And so, like, once you start, like Sam just said, like, if once you start relying on one source of, like, energy,
they have power over the state,
which this is Russia, like,
plus,
the USSR. They don't want that.
We were still in the Cold War. You had to outdo the U.S. with nuclear energy.
Exactly.
And like that,
they wanted you to win the nuclear race. So why not power your whole country out of the stuff that's dangerous?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all the stuff at the coal miners is just straight. Like, especially when they come back at the end and they're all, like, you know, not wearing anything. And it's like, well, we're still wearing your hat.
Yeah, we're the best line was, even after all that, the best line, though, was, but you're completely exposed. And he goes, would that matter anyway? Yeah. And he shakes his head.
Like, no.
Or what Skarsgård's character says before when they're about to meet the miners. And he's like, I've never dealt with miners before. And Skarsgård goes, well, in my experience, just be honest with them. They can sense bullshit.
Mm.
Yeah, they work in the dark. They can sense bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, we only have two episodes left of the show, and there's one thing I have to mention. So when they meet with the coal miners, you guys don't understand this, but how weird it is to watch a historical show that literally takes place on the day you're born. Literally, the day I was born. Like, it shows up May 3rd, 1986. And I'm like, I literally looked it up. I was like, what time was it in the Ukraine? Because I know what time I was born. So I was like, was I actually born yet? Because it looked like early morning. So I was like, all right, I wasn't born yet. But I'm born later in this day.
I was Cuban Missile Crisis. is my dates. So
no,
October.
Not on the day.
No. Literally the day I was born. It says it shows May 3rd, 1986. That's the day
coal
I
miners
was born.
Went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally the day I was born. Not like what happened in history on the day you were born. Like literally the day you were born.
Oh,
what was going
on?
Oh,
yeah, that's right. When the,
it's so weird because, like, John, you sent that the picture, the caption of it. And then, like, I sat down and I watched it. And it was still just, like, so strange to me to watch something that, like, granted, it probably didn't happen that day. But, I mean, this is a historical show.
So I feel like they're pretty, like, true to this stuff.
I mean, maybe it did happen, but the fact that, like, stuff that we're seeing in the show literally happened the day I was born.
Right.
Like, that's just crazy to me, and it's hard for, not hard for me to wrap my brain around that, but, like, it's such, like, an amazing, like, feeling. Like, right. I'm watching something that happened the same day I was being delivered.
As if this show, like, needed any more, like, mind fucks for you.
Yeah, right.
just a little more things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
All right. Well, we're going to have a lengthy conversation on Throne. So is any other thoughts on Chernobyl?
Just two more episodes.
Just kind of how freaky that funeral scene was.
Yeah.
That was.
Oh, God. That was. I mean, it just has, like, so many great just moments.
Mm.
And, oh, my God. Yeah, with the concrete and everything. And it's like the guy just being. And there's this sort of, like. This Russian, like, what's the word to put it? Like, they're not at all, like, delicate about it. They're just like, all right, back the truck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna seal these guys off for thousands of years.
Yeah. Which I brought up to these guys. It sounds very sick and disturbing to think about, but, like, this is how my brain works. But I'm like, in what, 23,000 years? I was like, these things are sealed coffins. Like, what are they gonna, what's it gonna look like? And Chris, you were like, you said they'd basically be puddles because they mentioned, like, the radiation is just, like, tearing their bodies apart from a cellular level. So, like, even, like, their bones, just everything is being torn apart.
Right.
So, but, like, it's a controlled ecosystem, basically. Yeah.
No, it's
like,
not going to.
Because they welded them shut and then they filled that thing with concrete. So, like, nothing's getting in. So.
Yeah. I think liquid.
Yeah.
That's just wild, I think too, so. That it's like. They just buried him at, like, some random cemetery.
Mm. It was probably somewhere well away from, like, important
I would
stuff.
Say
no, it's actually
all...
just outside of Moscow.
Is it right outside Moscow?
Yeah, or it's actually in Moscow or something.
Oh, really? It's probably labeled.
Yeah.
Yeah, caution. Very well. Do not dig here.
Yeah, right. See this cement
like
slab in the ground?
That's a decent enough start as any to, like, a zombie movie, right?
Radiated zombies.
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
Shall we stay in HBO world?
I mean,
we're in HBO.
This whole episode is HBO, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so on to the Thrones.
So... Oh, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
Series finale. There will be spoilers on this. The whole thing is going to be spoilers.
And if you haven't seen it yet, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
man.
It's Wednesday. Usually people have a moratorium on Mondays.
Because... I haven't seen it, but who cares about me?
Sorry?
I guess. I guess.
Based on...
I'm shocked you didn't watch the last episode, though.
I am a little shocked I did, too. But, like... I don't like watching them the day it comes out, and so based on reactions, I was like, yeah, I probably don't need to watch this.
All right. So we finally figured who gets to sit on the throne.
Yes, we do.
May or may not be the person you thought of.
Nope.
But
I don't think anybody thought of that.
Not even the actor.
No. Yeah, not even him.
Yeah, no one.
Should we just go out and say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Bran.
The Broken
is now the king of the six kingdoms. Or no, the six...
Six kingdoms.
Yeah. Because the north is...
King of the six kingdoms, breaker of something, and broken of
first
back.
Broken
and
of first.
Yeah, I was going to say
Andal.
Whatever it is. So he's now sitting on, well, a wheelchair.
A throne, right.
Oh, yeah, I guess the
throne
the
he's been in, sitting on this whole show.
Yeah, he hasn't moved.
Do we want to just go through this thing in order? I don't know if there's any other way to do it.
All right. No, that's... yeah, there really isn't any other way.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Just real quick, let's skim this.
All right, so let's talk about, we got a little Nazi Danny.
Yep.
Very much. Did it feel like almost exactly like the look, like what she was wearing, like almost exactly like that scene in The Force Awakens, where it's like, oh, so we're just going to throw some Nazi imagery into this thing for some reason?
I'm showing them the picture just to show them like what you're talking about. And
the speech falls in under that, too.
She's all like, we're going to liberate them by killing them.
Everybody's going to be liberated.
Yeah.
Yes.
From life.
Makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Complete deep end. She fell completely off the deep end.
Like, she tripped and fell in.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So... But still didn't seem super crazy, though, when John confronts her in the throne room. So, okay. Let's back up. Mm-hmm. And I think the finale was fine overall, but, like, I do have some problems with some things. Like I can't look past it.
That's
like,
fine,
I've been trying to give it a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but there's some of this stuff we just gotta
yes,
talk about.
Yes, please.
Okay. My first gripe was, so she gives the speech to everybody. John is up there. Tyrion is up there. We get that scene too with Tyrion that, I don't know, it seemed like a little much.
Which
Although,
one?
I guess,
where he finds the Cersei. Dead body. Yeah.
How do you know? Like,
well, because there was like three rocks sitting on top of them, so it's easy to find them. Sorry.
No, you're right. He's right, though. That scene was a little...
Yeah, no.
You didn't need it.
No.
You didn't need
no,
it.
No, you really
yeah,
didn't.
Although, I guess, like, how would he know? And, like, that'd be an important moment for him.
Question. Do I get a half point for that scene?
No.
Damn. But she doesn't die. She's already dead.
So...
He didn't say her corpse.
Damn.
Yeah, so Danny gives this whole speech, and, you know, she's very, like, cold to John when she gives it. Like, doesn't... really, like, almost doesn't acknowledge him, like, when she's, like, walking away. But mm-hmm. then, when they're in the throne room later, she's, like, all, you know, not super giddy and happy to see him, but very, like, welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, I don't understand what changed between the two.
Well, she was in front of everybody. She didn't want
trying to put on a show.
Yeah, she was trying to be queen then. When they're alone.
The cool queen, though, you know.
Who wants to kill everybody.
The cool queen of the ashes, you know. Finger pistols.
So, I mean, Tyrion essentially... John, whose real sole purpose in this show is being talked into doing things, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't actually have any... It's just, like, super conflicted, and then someone's like, well, you really should do it. And it's like, all right.
Well, you're right, though. The one thing he chose to do on his own was actually join the Night's Watch.
At the beginning?
Yeah, everything else was go be among the wildlings. Go be Lord Commander.
Technically two things, but we haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I guess the choice at the end there.
Yeah.
So, but, okay, yeah. So he kills her, and, like, you couldn't drag that out too long. You knew, like, she probably wasn't going to be sticking around too long.
Right.
Although I was a little surprised it wasn't Arya. It makes more sense for it to be Jon, but you could just as easily do, like, some fan service-y stuff and make it Arya. Especially because we all kind of got, like, blue balls over her killing Cersei, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was such a... Okay.
All right. So then after that, it gets weird. Like, the dragon shows up. He's like, what happened?
Wake up, Dad. Wake up, Dad.
Stripped. Right, exactly. And then just decides to, like... I don't know. Like, really, I couldn't explain to you what happened here. Like, you know, I think in myth, so to speak, dragons are at the very least, like, smarter than the average animal, we'll say. Like, I'm not, you know... In some sort of things, they're like sentient beings. Others, they're just like a little bit more knowing. But like, for him just to be like, one, recognizing she's dead, placing blame on John, and then being like, fuck it, I'm just going to blow this, I'm just going to make glass out of the Iron Throne.
Literally, like, this is the cause of everything. Blah! Like,
right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what they were going for.
I know, but
they
it's a dragon.
Well,
but for a dragon to do it is like...
It's a dragon.
Important callback, though. The throne that was made by a dragon is also destroyed by a dragon.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a nice little, you know... You're right. There's a nice little, you know, the loop is being closed. And it's also... You know, it's funny because you get the scene of her in the throne room with it looking like snow, which is very much like the vision she has when she goes into the House of Undying in, like, what, season two or three?
Oh, God, yeah. That was early. Three, I think.
Yeah. And then you realize, like, a week later, it's, like, sunny. It's like, oh, that was just ash. That wasn't snow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did you guys think of the dragon? It wasn't, like... I don't know if I hated it, but it really like was like, what are we doing?
What, the dragon thing?
Just the whole situation with the dragon.
I mean, you needed to handle the dragon somehow.
Yeah. Eventually, that situation needed to be dealt with.
Yeah, that was gonna happen. And like, to be honest, I don't know how you can do that any better.
That's fair, but do you need the dragon to blow up the Iron Throne?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You need some kind of finality to this.
I feel like you need the Iron Throne to be destroyed.
Because, like, this is supposed to be the end of the Game of Thrones.
But, like, I feel like John said, it's kind of like the underlying theme of the season. It's like it needed to happen, but the way they went about writing how it happened just kind of seemed a little silly.
Not this part of this episode.
Sure?
It didn't really seem silly.
Yeah, it
didn't. This particular part.
Okay.
You knew Danny was going to die.
No, yeah. No, I'm saying, like, the dragon, like, literally the dragon, not Danny dying.
Well,
the dragon, like, showing up, doing the Simba to Mufasa thing, going, it's all your fault. It's all this throne's fault. Blah, blowing up the throne, grabbing her and flying away.
No, it's fine.
All right.
That's absolutely fine. I wouldn't call that really lazy either.
Okay, like, why are we, like, giving this dragon shit for realizing Danny's dead when, like, animals can do that?
I know. Yeah. No, I think...
And they can also piece together what happened to the...
Okay.
Yeah. The reference is to, like,
passing past
Mufasa.
There's like, moving on. There's a dagger in her, and John's holding her body.
You know, I think what a lot of people forget, Sean, is that... Yeah. Technically, it's not even really a dragon.
No, we're not talking about this.
It's been 150 episodes since that argument has come up.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
We're not
going back to that.
200. At 200, we will.
I saw somebody point that out on Twitter, and like I was just like, oh, man.
was it Sean? The Wyvern army is growing.
Well,
one person every 3 years.
Well, look, I'm fine with the dragon Danny situation because you know what, they dealt with it. That's it. Dragon's gone. They don't have to worry about it later.
Yeah, that was gonna happen.
Yep.
Sure. What was interesting is like what essentially the resolution of the show becomes this like meeting then of everybody, which is really the next thing, right? Like we flash forward after that, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
What did you guys think of that? What'd you think of like how that went down?
I enjoyed it. Like that's kind of what this show has been. Was like everybody sitting around being like, okay, who's gonna be king?
I agree. I like, you know, there's this whole part of the show. I'm always a big fan of people sitting around a table, even though there wasn't a literal table at this one.
Yeah.
And just, like, talking shit through. For it to end up being Bran was weird, especially when, like, you know, the North, like, secedes. But I did love the two moments where they were, like, you know, Uncle take a seat, and then just, like, laughed at Sam's face for democracy.
Yeah.
I thought that there was, like, a decent enough chance that the writers would do like that sort of like sticky ending where it's like, and hey, we're gonna do democracy.
Yeah,
yeah, right. There's no way Sansa would have said that. Yeah, she would have been, you know, 30,000 Northmen died for this. There's no way. No, it was a good callback. There were some faces that you haven't seen in a while, like Edmure Tully.
Mm.
You didn't see him, or the Knight of the King, Knight of the Vale, and the kid.
Yeah, the kid.
The kid in the Vale. Yeah, that's right.
Dude's grown up.
Yep, he's still probably crazy, but you know. The way it ended with that, I have mixed feelings about it, because Sansa is like, the North is, you know, we've sacrificed a lot, we're our own kingdom, which, whatever, you make up half of Westeros anyway, go for right. it, do whatever. But the thing is, that sets precedent, because
right.
the Ironborn have revolted 17,000 yeah. times, what's to stop them from doing
like,
it again?
Yeah, like, why...
That's not Arya
why is the North allowed to secede and everybody else has to remain? Like,
and what's really the point of like coming together to have like a single kingdom if you're gonna just let people leave?
Right, not just yeah. let people, let a person leave.
Right,
like, plus, you would think like other parts of Westeros would stand up and be like, hey, like, well, why are you letting
a
her
lot of
do
those
this?
So there's only, given the houses and everything, those are actual houses. They're not right. like, they're not.
What about the Isles?
So the North is there. The right. Isles are small little things. It's essentially a castle.
Right.
But then you also have the Vale, which is a castle. You
would
also
they
have,
not want to be independent if the North gets to be?
The North has its.
Okay, the people of kingdoms, they don't really give a shit about what's going on with the kings and stuff.
Yeah. Like, Dorne was never really involved in any of the wars. They were just kind of there.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the North was pretty much... And the Lannisters, even... All they have is Castle Rock. They don't have anything else. That's it. That's just the house. And there's no actual land, where literally the North is the land. It's not Winterfell. It's everything up there, which includes,
right.
like,
Right, well, I mean,
Bear
Ned
Island.
Stark... Ned Stark was warden of the North. Like, you know, I don't know if there's like other, you know, jurisdictional leaders in Westeros. We never really got too far into that part of the show, or rather the show never really dived into that, but yeah, like you said, Chris, I would think, or whoever said it, I would think the Iron Irons would be like, oh yeah, dude, yeah, we're not in this, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Iron Isles, like,
yeah, they revolt,
but like, they didn't, when like the North was like, can we be
especially,
free?
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
they weren't. Sansa didn't make that a question. It was you're either letting us go or we're going to fight you until
right.
we're free.
I think the yeah. North, the Iron Islands didn't revolt because they got what they always wanted, which was a seat at the table.
True.
They've always been ignored.
True.
And they were one of the, they were being taken seriously as a major kingdom.
Not to right. mention, they got a lot
and,
of rebuilding to do.
And everybody let the North go because nobody wanted another war.
I think there's a certain, yeah. And like, one of the criticisms I've seen are like people being like, well, why did they like just decide to, you know, part ways or whatever? Like, I think after a while, people are like, dude, we can't like keep fighting these wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, you have to sign a ceasefire. Dumb.
Yeah.
So many like people have died.
Although, the one that I wasn't super sure of is the Unsullied. Because at one moment, they're like, hey, you know, we could set you up, like, you know, in the Reach. You could go have your own house there. And they're like, no, we just want to kill Jon Snow and leave. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't hashed out at all.
And then when they leave, it's like, well, why do we have to send him away? You know, like... I don't. That was just that seemed kind of weird and rushed. But
that was lazy. That was lazy.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was. Because I don't even really understand their motivation. So like, they're just gonna go to an island and just chill. I mean, I don't even understand. Like, what do you hope to achieve long term as a freed Unsullied that like can't, you know, reproduce at all and like, and that's like.
Well, they're done with war.
They are.
They just want to go and live their lives. Because they're
true
free
that.
Men now.
Well, according to somebody, I forget who it was, they said they're going as protectors to Narth. So,
right, which is the island that they talked about going to, right?
Well, Missandei's from Narth.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
That's his motivation, at least, for going there. Oh. But so he's taking, what, 5,000 other Unsullied warriors? I don't know.
I'm sure they'll be thrilled.
Yeah, that's lazy. I think that's lazy. That particular thread was just them kind of saying, all right, we got to get rid of them. Here you go.
Right. Which, honestly, I realize there has to be, like, easy outs to some of these things, but, like, I think that's just lazy.
That's too late. That's too easy. They deserved more. Yeah. They've been around since the second season, I think.
One other thing, too, that I found interesting, and, like, I don't try to bring history into this show, because it's really, I mean, it's not really, you know, it's ahistorical, obviously. It's
yeah, but it is based off, like, Martin did base a lot of this stuff off of history, though.
Right, yeah, I mean, there's some stuff...
Metaphoric,
like
yeah, well he used
that.
Examples,
but,
so...
But, you know, Sam, fellow history buff, they made a mention of, like, oh, well, Bran can't have any heirs. And it's like, yeah, that's really led to, like, great times when there's, like, no heir to the throne.
Well, the whole point was the system they designed now is going to be an electoral system. They're going to elect their king. The great houses are going to elect their king.
Oh, great. We're Naboo now.
But
it's going to be an electoral college kind of deal.
But the nice thing about Brand is he's the first one. He can't have any heirs, so there's nobody go, hey, I want backsies.
Mm. Right.
And nobody truly knows how long he's going to live.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact. Is he immortal? I don't know.
No idea.
Maybe.
Okay, so, like, the whole three-eyed raven thing, like, what's the point?
Right.
He's the memories of the world.
What was the point? What was...
He's, like, what's the point, though?
According to Tyrion's speech, he's the memory of the world. So that way...
Because right. Tyrion knows?
But
they had books, though.
Well, yeah, they have books and stuff, but he has the knowledge of what has happened and knows everything is true, because if there's a question about it, he can just go back in time and look.
Right.
But I think that's just... It's the story... Tyrion explained.
Don't make excuses for poor writing.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't.
Like, I guarantee you, like, Martin will probably explain what the three-eyed raven, like, the deal is and why it's so important. The show kind of just glosses over it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think now, having been to the end of the show, the promise of, like, Bran's, like, his deal, like, it was never realized.
No.
Well, seeing the whole story, it's one of those things where it's like, it's actually not that important that we know what the three-eyed raven
is now, but, like, it was set up like it was.
No, it's still not important.
Right. No, but
it was set up as something important, though.
I know. I know. I'm not trying to defend this at this point. Like, this should have been another season and a half long.
Yeah.
Or at least make this a 10-episode season.
I think this should have been 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot that happened in this last season.
I wouldn't necessarily change anything about the plot. Like, everybody keeps saying bad.
I'd change a couple things.
No, everything worked.
But they're tweaks. They're not big. Yeah. They're not big changes.
The biggest change I would have, the biggest change, because this is where I don't want to finish talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
The biggest change I would do, if I had a full season, maybe not 2 seasons, but if I had 3 more episodes, I'd show the progression of Dany falling further, harder.
That's
over the 3 episodes.
That's not a change of the story.
What makes it even, what I would change even further is that, you know how Dany supposedly cannot get pregnant. She can't have another kid.
Yeah.
John impregnates Dany at the beginning when they started hooking up. Let them continue hooking up. Let them keep going. John falls in love with Dany because everybody says, oh, you're in love with her, but he never really shows it.
I feel, if you build up a love story between the two of them,
if you build it up,
that, like, death scene is going to be much more powerful.
It would have been 10 times harder for him to pull that trigger. Not pull the trigger, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It would have been 10 times harder for him, and then as a viewer, I would have felt even more bad for Jon Snow because he had to do that. He had to kill, you know, his lover, his queen, and his unborn child.
Because, like, even, like, the beginning of this episode, wasn't he defending her, like, still trying to defend
throughout
killing
the whole
innocence?
Season he was defending
her. Yeah, very much.
But, like, this episode, like, she killed a bunch of children and innocent lives. She killed a bunch of people and went against what she
was still trying to defend her. You're right.
And, but, so, like, he goes from defending her to killing her, like...
Because he had doubts.
No, but...
He wasn't admitting that he had doubts, but he had doubts.
Yeah, but it's something that could easily have been explained more and, like,
I feel like this should have been two seasons.
Easily.
If it was stretched out a bit more, this would have been a lot better.
Which,
I wouldn't necessarily... I realize I'm saying this as the guy who keeps complaining about this show being way too long, but I feel like this last season should have been two seasons.
Yeah.
Because everything would have worked better.
Because, like I said last week, the biggest complaint about this season has been, like they said, like lazy writing. It's not, I don't want to say lazy writing because I feel like at this point it's more like they know the plot points and they're just like, let's just get there as quick as we possibly can.
Here's what happened. And, like, they didn't connect the dots. And I don't think there was ever a realistic, like, I think there's people out there who are looking for every little thing, single thing to be tied up in a nice bow.
Right.
And that's going to be impossible to do in any show, let alone one as sprawling and just epic as this one, right?
Okay.
But here's the thing. Just like I said with Bran, that it never really paid off. Jon Snow's identity really, like, didn't do much at all. And it is built at the time as if it's almost the climax of the show when it happens at the end of, what is it, season six? Like, the climax as in, like, you know, in a big, like, inflection point.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Like, when it reveals who he is.
So,
right.
I'm not saying they did this, but I understand what it was supposed to be. That was supposed to be the driving force that drove Dany mad.
But she had other reasons.
Yeah,
she had other reasons, but that was supposed to be the main reason, was there was a legitimate challenger to her. She had always been the legitimate heir to the throne, and now she wasn't.
Yeah,
and,
but
yeah,
they
that's
didn't.
That's what she started to do.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything with
no,
that.
No, they didn't show anything. They didn't do a good job with,
like,
that.
Behind the scenes, yeah, it makes sense. Because I know, like, was it, there's a show after this that with the showrunners, D&D or whatever, the DB Weiss or whatever their names are. But, like, there's a show afterwards where they explain stuff, which is nice. Like, because, you know, like I said, everybody feels like the show was rushed and, like, they got to plot points as soon as they could. That's how people felt. But, like, they explained afterwards their decisions and whatnot, which it brought up to me. It's like, you know, a joke is always funnier when you have to explain it, right? No. So why do you need to explain what you did? Like,
okay, well, that's a bad reason. So Sam, I don't know. I just feel like at the end of the day, tipping her to become the Mad Queen or whatever, like, it just, she was going down that road anyway. Like, I really don't, there's so many things going on between, like, just the North just generally not trusting her and, you know, losing all the people close to her in life, including two of the dragons. Like, I mean, I feel like that has an effect. And I just feel like there's going to be, you know, when the books come out, and weirdly now I'm more, like, eager to actually read the books or considering doing it, because I just feel like there's just something there that they must have just had to get cut for time.
There has to be.
I'm not even saying that the resolution ultimately for John is he's in the North, which I feel like there was some hints of that, you know, he that's where he belongs, but it wasn't really, again, it wasn't really properly established, like, well enough,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think, excuse me, stuff with the Mad Queen, you know, with Dany's turn, you know, Tyrion gives a good speech, I think, in this one about how, you know, evil men always seem to die wherever she goes or whatever. Like, it makes it, you know, like, it's, you know, there's two sides to every coin. You know, like, she crucified the masters and wherever the hell, like, Mustafar. Or
yeah.
Mustafar.
They all have funny names like that on Essos. but you know, so we end up pretty much. We get the scene where, so you know, Tyrion becomes the Hand of the King, which I liked. I thought that was good. I liked all the stuff where they had the new small council. I thought that was really great.
You have like the small council led by people who really don't belong on there.
Yeah,
but right. If you also think about it, they're the only ones competent enough to actually do it.
Yeah, but there's only one person that truly, two people that truly fit on that small council, and it's Brienne, obviously. But it's also like Davos, who's the master of ships. And yeah. Everybody else is just. Well, Sam has, I mean, not to do a reference, but he has no chains on his link for his being the Grand Maester or the, whatever they're called at the.
In fairness, I believe he's the only Maester left.
They didn't destroy the Citadel. Has all the Maesters.
They're running out of Maesters.
Yeah.
A lot more Maesters at the beginning of the show than the end.
Yeah. And then Bronn, obviously, but you know, whatever. You're right, though. I liked the small council meeting. I'll agree with you on that one.
I saw some people giving some shit to it, so I just felt like I had to mention it.
No, I thought it was pretty good. It was a little forced with the, you know, the book title, but it was.
Okay, yeah.
It was also book funny. Title. It was also.
But, you know, Lord of the Rings did the same
thing. Exactly. Yeah. But at least the Lord of the Rings didn't call it The Hobbit. They called it There and Back Again.
Oh, who cares?
I'm not really.
Whatever.
Okay.
Splitting hairs at that point. They did the thing
in fairness, none of the books have been called The Song of Fire and Ice.
I know, but.
That whole thing was overshadowed by Tyrion going, oh, I guess there's some bad things about me. And then, yeah, you know, progresses. He's like, there's nothing
so
of you in
stupid
there.
To, like, do something like that.
Whatever. Whatever.
No, it's not.
But you know what, dude? That's how endings are.
Yeah.
It was quite literally one of the happier endings of the rest, you know?
All right.
There was not a lot of happy endings or happy parts in the last couple episodes, so you had to have something.
Also, I like Bran just like showing up and then being like, let me go see if I can find Drogon.
Yeah, does it remind you of Baratheon at all?
Right. Well, but like, why? If you could just go find the dragon, couldn't you have, like, helped avoid some of this? what do you do? You have to figure out what you do before you come out on stage to put a sketch out.
Yeah. Moving north, I liked the ending with Sansa being the queen.
She's the queen of...
Yeah, I'll take it. Good for her.
That was great, totally deserving. Good with Arya's resolution, too.
The what?
With what happened with Arya.
Yeah, how she's...
Okay,
so... Off to, what, the west? Is that where she's...
Yeah. She's going Wester-Uros. Yeah.
Wester-Er.
I, you know, I'm okay with that. I would have preferred to see her either standing on Sansa's side... Like behind Sansa, because I think those two together was fantastic. But I think it would have also been nice to see her like being the hand of justice almost.
So, are we all 100% sure that she is the spinoff show?
She's not.
She's not.
Even though I would love it,
I feel like
it's a prequel.
Is it a prequel?
Yeah,
the whole thing was like 5,000 years before or something.
I read an interview today too with the head of HBO where they were like, "Yeah, so." You could totally do a spinoff show with her, right. And you very like, nah, we're not going to go that way.
Okay. That said, if I was to see a spinoff, I would not mind seeing the Stark girls in their own
at least Arya.
Sequel.
Sansa would show up every once in a while.
Yeah, I would not mind that at all.
No.
I'd be okay with that.
Well, you're getting a different view of the world with her going
That's
west.
True, but you also get to see what seems to be a competent queen.
Right.
Who doesn't want to kill everybody or use their power
to... In fairness, that sort of makes a boring show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could
A good story is characters making bad decisions.
Well, you could also have Ironborn revolting in the North trying to
That's why I'd rather see just Arya's Adventures of Arya. I feel like that would
be... From the man who's never watched the show.
No, but like from like a show point of view, that I feel like a lot of people.
He's right. If you're going to go somewhere, you follow the one who's going away from
Westeros. You've seen Westeros. What's else? What else is out there?
I mean, it would be nice to see this world from a more small scale.
Yeah, and that's kind of
the
like
show's always
see.
Been about the ladies and the lords.
Yeah,
and the Night King that was useless.
So. Right.
And then just tying it up with the other northern. Jon Snow just going whatever. Right. Who the fuck cares?
Well, I have a question.
At this
so,
point,
I liked the conclusion of Jon Snow.
I'm fine with him going north. That makes sense.
That's good.
And it gives me a nice point right there because Giantsbane shows up. But he has the nice like hi to was a ghost or whatever the dog's name. Like finally, like the fans of the show finally get like that high moment with him and the dog.
They already had the high moment.
No. Like after he sends him away, where he's like.
Oh yeah,
peace. And he's like, "Oh, all right, bye." Like, you don't know if you'll ever see him again. Like, say hi. So like, it was
totally
nice
worth
for, like them
freaking out about for like 2 weeks. By the way, they're like, he didn't even say goodbye.
Right.
Go.
Yeah. Right. So like, it was nice that they saw each other again right there. But my question is, so he's basically rejoining the Night's Watch, right?
Nope.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Nope. No. Nope. He went north of the wall. He's with the Wildlings.
No, I know, but he was tasked.
Yeah, he was tasked with.
He was made the Lord.
But who's
Commander.
To say that he's not simply escorting them safely to a new location?
Exactly.
Well, they would is that they're really insinuating he ain't coming back because he is the only Night's Watch going north of the Wall.
The gate shuts behind him.
But yeah. there's no threat aside from animals.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what's the point of the North the North Watch now?
The Night's Watch. Very
Night's
good
Watch,
point, Sean.
Like,
I have no idea.
Yeah,
also,
there's no White Walkers. There's no was it Wildlings, which was the other reason why they were up there, right?
Well, they're Wildlings.
There are Wildlings,
but aren't they like aren't they allies now? Sort of.
Yeah, there's always gonna be
that no knee.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be like raiders and stuff.
Yeah,
so I guess. And not to mention,
what happened to the Fens? Are there any Fens left?
I don't know. Bran also said there needs to be a place for bastards and criminals to go. Okay. And then that's it. You know what? Whatever. It's
man, that must be the easiest job ever.
But I liked, the conclusion to Jon Snow's arc there because. If you think about it back, the only place he really belonged was with the Wildlings.
Yeah.
Can you, Sam, like, explain that to me? I'm not even saying you're wrong, but, well, like, I just feel like it was very, very lightly sort of hinted at. And, in fact, never really even crystallized until Tormund brings it up, like, what is it, right after the Battle of Winterfell? And he's like, you know, you don't belong down here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at it where, like, down south, when he was, you know, the king of the north or helping Dany, he was always uncomfortable with that. He never really wanted any of that. In the Night's Watch, they literally killed him.
Yeah,
and he didn't really want Lord Commander. They just voted him.
Yeah, they just voted him at that. But when he was with the Wildlings, he was him. You know?
He was free.
He was free. He wasn't responsible for anything. He didn't feel guilty that he was a bastard. He was just him. Jon Snow.
Knowing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he had Ygritte, whatever.
Ygritte.
Yeah. His real wife.
There's a part of that life. That is... It makes sense, but for like... almost your main protagonist to end off as just like, well, fuck it, I'll just go live in the woods. It does feel like you're being robbed of it a little bit, right? Like, I mean,
no,
he would be a good king.
Yeah, I see where I see because, like,
I mean, Frodo kind of
this. Well, yeah, but like this show definitely. I feel like they set up Jon for more than what he actually does in this last season.
He hasn't done anything in this last season.
Which I have to I brought it up because like I don't watch a show, but like so after he is brought back from life from death, so he's brought back to life. What exactly does he do?
He unites everybody to face off with the Night King.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
because like I asked them at work, and they're like, Yeah, it's kind of like been a waste. Like
he's the one responsible for getting everybody together to defeat the Army of the Dead.
That's fine.
I think there's a very like a much more narrow like he comes back from the dead and he totally has a cause, but him like coming back from the dead, you would think there'd be larger just ramifications.
Exactly.
Being like, hey, he came back from the dead. What the fuck?
Right, like there, like there's something more important about this character than what meets the eye, kind of thing. Like he was, like they literally brought him back. Like this guy's the real deal. This is a big, like big important person. And
well, I mean,
really does, other than like
he saved the world from being destroyed.
He could have helped a little better.
Yeah, but he could have helped with the dragon a little bit better
with his whole plan.
Well, he helped with everyone being there.
But like seriously,
I see your point. But and I do agree that they did set up Jon Snow for this massive thing, and it was a letdown, which is one
reason why a lot of people got pissed off that he didn't face off against the Night King. I mean,
during the final battle,
like because I mean. His character was set up so, like, he was going to be more than just bringing people together,
Here's the thing, and it's very important. Everybody keeps saying, oh, he was set up so much, If you think about it, everyone else was the ones being like, you're important, you're important, you're important.
Yeah.
Yeah, Davos was really getting on his knees for him.
He never... did anything that really made him seem important, if you think about it.
Yeah.
No, other than bringing everyone together.
Yeah.
Which is why the Lord of the Light brought him back.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just glad Davos, like, it seemed to work out okay for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have a family?
No.
You know, his son's burned in Blackwater.
That's why he survived.
His wife.
He didn't have a wife to retire back to.
You should try to find somebody.
You know, this 2 weeks from retirement.
Probably some women, you know, that didn't get burned alive by Danny, you know?
Yeah. Hey, they're rebuilding the brothels.
Yeah, Bronn rebuilds those brothels. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of things I would have not changed, but just went further on.
It needed more time.
Yeah.
It needed more time.
And I blame
the writers for this one.
Yeah.
Because HBO was willing to give them more, but they said no. I blame the writers, and I blame
I hate to bring this up.
Kathleen Kennedy.
But Aaron Rodgers.
They're leaving to go do Star Wars. Yeah, that's leaving to do Star Wars.
But like Aaron Rodgers, who was in episode five, he's a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Whatever. I didn't even notice him. I watched the episode.
No,
twice.
He was there though. He was there. But like they interviewers asked or reporters asked him
Dude,
after.
I don't care about Aaron Rodgers.
No, but like he was.
Yeah,
they
I
were
really
like,
don't.
Well, they asked him like about, and he was like. It didn't end the way I thought it was, and he even was like, they seem like
That's
they're more
crazy.
Interested in Star Wars than they were about this show. They just wanted to finish the show up.
Yeah,
and
I'm
move
sure
on
an
to
extra
Star Wars.
Totally knew what was going on.
Okay.
Having the deep conversations with them.
All right, Brand thought his script was a joke when he first got it.
Because it was a twist.
They also gave multiple scripts to people.
Yeah.
They filmed a bunch of different endings.
By the way, that they didn't.
Yeah,
that
they didn't.
That came out in this interview that I read.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
like the
they didn't.
Multiple endings, like that was never the case.
Yeah,
but it was a rumor that they were like okay with just being out there for obvious reasons.
What the fuck?
And even like Emilia Clarke said after reading the script for the final season, she wandered around London for 5 hours afterwards.
Right. Well, it'll be nice because like she's not at well. All right. One last thing.
Okay.
Fuck, now I forgot it. Shit.
Sorry?
I can't blame them either for wanting to tie it up to do Star
no,
Wars.
No, I...
Can
I
you
am...
imagine Can you imagine being the writers of the probably the number one cable show?
Well, this is the highest rate... It was,
of HBO.
HBO history.
But you're literally one of the most talked about shows of all time. And you're the writers and executive producers. Imagine just going to, like, the grocery store.
Yeah.
People know your face.
Do they, though?
And they know your name. Yeah, they do.
People they ain't going to the grocery store.
But it's not. Well, but the thing is, imagine going out for 2 years. 2 years ago, imagine going out and just going about your day, hanging out with your family, and then somebody comes up to you and be like, hey, what's going on with Jon Snow? Is he dead? Is he alive?
Oh,
imagine
yeah.
that for how long they've been doing this.
Say, well, that was like David years? Chase after The Sopranos, the showrunner of that show.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was just like vacationing in like the south of France for like 3 months afterwards because he didn't want to get any of the flack from people.
Right. No, you're right. That's
an ending that people hated right after, and like I think a lot of people have grown to actually like it. So
yeah.
One thing I wanted to point out that I feel like is kind of a bullshit narrative that's been out online is that they don't have, you know, this season's been rushed, but overall, you know, they didn't have, like, as soon as George R. R. Martin stuff dried up and they went past the books, that they couldn't write anymore.
Right.
And that's just kind of bullshit, because I think the last book is when Jon Snow dies, which is like season 5. And like season 6 is like some of the best episodes in the show. So
not only that, they also wrote the other seasons. Yeah, they had that material,
right.
But they still had to write
them.
The
complaint is that once they surpassed the written material, it started going downhill. Which even like if you look at the rated, I'm not saying
I don't fucking care about the ratings.
Okay, critic ratings is what I was gonna say. If you even look at the critic ratings, it doesn't dip significantly in season 6. But it does dip in 7 and 8.
It's because everybody's disappointed for 8. So don't even... exclude all of 8.
Explain 7 then.
Exclude all
explain
of
8. Explain 7.
I don't know. I have to look at the things. I was getting ready to tie this up.
But season 7 is the second lowest rated season.
Sean, I'm getting sick. I realize this is the last time we'll talk.
Critics!
I'm getting sick and tired of you shitting on this show. And you've never watched it.
I've watched episodes. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
I'm not...
but everything you tell us is you shitting on the show.
A lot of it is.
But a very good point. He has always shat on the show.
It's a counter-argument. I'm sorry, that's how discussions go. If you don't have a counter-argument,
right.
It's just...
Well, let me give the counter-argument, too. Dude, Game of Thrones, like... Oh, by the way, the real funny thing of this whole thing is it's going to win the Emmy. Like, it's just going to, just because the way shit works.
Yeah,
what nomination would it be? It would be
Best Drama.
Drama, yeah. Right?
Name another Best Drama.
Well, Chernobyl is miniseries, so
that's not going to count.
That's not, I mean, the Veep is comedy, you know.
But I mean, the reason why is just because it's so widely watched.
Right.
That people just vote for what they watch.
Right.
So, that's why. I mean, yeah. which is hilarious because of just, right or wrongly, like, you know, the season has not gotten great plaudits, but it's still probably going to win the Emmy, which I just find funny. But my larger point here, dude, this show was never like incredible. Like, it wasn't like an all-time great show. Like, it was an incredible spectacle, and there was nothing else like it. But like the pound-for-pound quality, like, I don't know. I feel like people are like flipping their shit, but it's like the show is good.
Yeah.
The show's really good. I really enjoyed it, but I never like treasured the show, you know? Like, it's like if the ending like wasn't 10 out of 10 or even 8 out of 10, like, okay, a lot of endings suck, like, you know. Yeah.
I mean, I actually stopped watching the show and only picked it up again when we started the podcast, cuz I was like, "Oh, I have to talk about this again."
Wait, are you talking IMDb rating?
No.
Okay.
Critic rating.
What, the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I believe so. Based on seasons, based on critics. That's
I wouldn't be super surprised, but I think season 6 was still... I just think it was the last two truncated seasons.
I think season 5 is the highest rated season, I believe. Which I think it's like at like 95 or something like that on Rotten Tomatoes, or I forget what... either that or Metascore. I forget which one it is. But yeah, like season 7 definitely took a hit for the critics. But I mean, once again, like I said, to have a conversation, you need a counter argument. So
saying. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
All right. So Game of Thrones seasons in this order.
Yep.
91, 96, 96, 97, 93, 94, 93, 67.
What is so this?
Season 7 is 93%. Well, you're telling me it dropped?
Wait, what is this on?
Rotten Tomatoes, you said.
I wasn't sure if it was Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic. And is that the fan score or the critic score?
I'm just going off of what is on the...
Because it could... I don't know. I can't read from here, but...
No. I'm just going to... It just has a list of seasons with the tomato. There's no way. Not no way. All season right. 7, it's the stayed the same. It didn't drop.
All right. I saw it at 78.
As we just kind of try to close out here.
Yeah.
Because as brutally honest, endings are tough, even for podcasts.
And they are.
you know, I think what just kind of riled me up a little bit with this is that I think once the narrative started going, and really like after the Battle of Winterfell, like people just wanted to just like shit on this thing and just kind of destroy it. Just because, I don't know, because like people like just shitting on stuff after a while. They build them up and knock them down.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even think the criticisms are especially unfair, or some of them at least, but I think there's a lot of ticky-tack shit, and I think, you know, people just sometimes like want to be like miserable about some of this shit. Yeah. So,
like, I
feel like it's just blown.
Like, I enjoyed the season. I didn't walk away from the season hating it. Was I disappointed in some areas? Yeah, this could have been done better, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, same thing. And this, regardless of what happened this season, this still goes down as one of the best shows I've seen ever. One of. Maybe not the best, but one of.
It was a good show.
It's hard to top Sherlock.
It was Metacritic.
Oh.
Which is literally all critics.
Yeah, not doing it.
All right. I'm literally just showing.
Just Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. That's
Rotten Tomatoes means nothing.
Rotten Tomatoes means nothing.
Well, first of all, was it owned by WB? And second of all, it's just whether or not you liked it. It's not an actual score. That's literally all it is. It's did you like it?
Fans liked.
To be honest, that's a better measurement than actual like scores because
I understand
these scores TV are very shows. Arbitrary,
especially TV shows.
Yeah.
I realize we give them points in our movies, but like, it's not a good system. Like, well, honestly, like, a thumbs up, thumbs down is actually kind of a better system because it's very arbitrary.
Then
how you feel?
Because based on like the thumbs up, thumbs down, not to go off topic, but like Venom would have a thumbs up for me. Was it actually a good movie? God no, but I enjoyed the crap out of it. But like. So therefore, it's a fresh rating in my book because I liked it.
Yeah, but that's what it's meant. That's what it's there for.
I know, but it doesn't give you like just because you enjoyed it doesn't mean it's a good movie. There's plenty of bad movies.
Then you're rating it from.
That's why the number makes sense. That's why I'm happy with the numbers.
Well, I think Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic gets screwed up when it's like, what's fresh? Is it 80 or 75 or whatever?
I think it's 80.
Yeah,
80 and above.
Those get screwed up when it's like everybody agrees it's an 80 movie. And it's like 100% fresh.
Yeah.
Where it was like, it's not really, but nobody thinks it's a great movie, you know?
Right. Everybody like, it's like, I enjoyed it, okay. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed with this show. And even then, I still think the books are going to be better.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm rereading the series again.
Martin's even said, like, the ending is going to be completely different. Not only
no,
because.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he said it was going to be. It was basically that was his ending, but there are going to be some small details that are going to be
different. Not in the interviews I read.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
The interviews I read was like, my ending is going to be different.
He didn't say that it was going to be different.
That's what I read.
Thank you, Chris.
There are certain things that will say. But there's also stuff that is going to change.
Yeah. But he said overall,
I mean, there's
it's
more characters
same.
That are still alive in the show and are alive
well,
in the book.
I mean, the book is just, we're not even on,
right.
We're like four seasons like, away from the book at this point.
Yeah, I know. We're a ways away.
I did see something where he said the plan is to have the next book out no later than the end of next year.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, he's got, I think, like 5 TV shows in the works right now outside of Game of Thrones.
He's not writing any of it.
I know, but he's still involved.
Well, yeah, whatever. He's involved with stuff. It's just, I can't.
The problem is,
I don't know. I hate to say it. Like, I hate it because he does it, but he's one of the most yes, no interviewers ever. Yeah. Because the show came out and they're like, oh, you're releasing book six, I think is book six? Winds of Winter. Whatever the next, Winds of Winter is the next one. He's like, oh, you're releasing this week? And he goes, no. And then he goes, I hate people who post that. It's not even done yet. But then a week later, he'll say, yeah, I plan on releasing, you know, I plan on releasing half or whatever. You know, he'll say something where he's actually done parts of it. And it's just, he's one of the most yes-no bipolar interviewers ever, which is fine. I get it.
No, it's fine. But what pisses me off.
I'm pissed because if I was a publisher and it wasn't R.R. Martin, I'd drop him in a heartbeat because it's 9 years.
But what pisses me off is how, like, there are plenty of readers out there who think it's like, it's Martin's duty to put these out there. Like, he owes them. Like, and that pisses me off. It's like, he's a writer. He's got a he's got a life out there. He's got tons of projects going on. Like,
wait, are you saying
what?
But we just bitched out Benioff and Weiss for fucking rushing it at the end. Like,
this is different. No, but he's not. He's literally not rushing it. I'm saying, like, the people who feel entitled to these last two stories and that Martin needs to literally drop everything he's doing and just focus on these books as a writer.
Right.
Like, that angers
me. I'm entitled to these books. I will tell you. I'm a reader.
I know
you're a reader. I'm entitled to this. He owes me books 6 and 7. Why? Because for the past 6 years, he's been saying
oh, I know.
He's going to release these stories. But what has he done? He has written 3 other books.
Yeah, he's done other books.
A bunch of novellas, then a bunch of TV shows. It's been 8 years.
He's working on a video game
right
now.
Get your shit together and release books that you said you were going to release.
He's got a see, but like,
you created this world. Yeah. You wanted people to enjoy and appreciate your world and your story, and you're not concluding it. Yeah, I'm sorry. All right. And on that note about angry for J.R.R. Martin, should we tie this up? All right, well, I guess, John, any last final comments? Yes, no.
I guess the Game of Thrones was the friends we made along the way.
All right, well, anyway. Tying that up now. Great, great. No,
rush the ending. Rush the ending.
Anyway, if you like all of our episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/niceandnerditude. Also, please like, subscribe to us on iTunes and send us a review as well. That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.